thank you for joining us today. This is day one of our devoted series. And today we are going to be, our Bible reading is from Genesis 1 through 2. That's the Bible reading that we'll be doing in family devotions. Psalm 19 will be our evening Bible reading. And Mark chapter 1 we'll use for our personal devotions. This morning I read in my personal devotions from Mark chapter 1. It's a really interesting chapter of scripture. And there are a lot of things that it talks about in chapter 1, but I'll just highlight a few things for you to today. There, I first noticed that in verses 7 through 8, it talks about how, of the greatness of Jesus. Actually, it's John the Baptist who says he's not, he's not, John the Baptist, meaning himself, is not worthy to unlatch the sandals of Jesus. So we see the greatness of God. In fact, you're going to see throughout this chapter an emphasis on the greatness of Jesus and the authority of Jesus. Mark is going to move from one example after another, after another, after another, and he's going to move very quickly. Mark is a book that really moves fast, and it's a lot of action. For that reason, your kids will probably enjoy it. It's a book that they'll be able to grasp pretty easily, so it's a good one to start off with family devotions and individual devotions. But so it starts off with the greatness and authority of Christ. You see that in verses 10 through 11, it's Jesus's baptism, and we see that the Father is well pleased with Jesus, and we see the unity of the Trinity there. We see in verses 16 through 18 of the passage, Jesus is commanding his disciples to follow him. And that becomes an important theme for us when we're putting together what we're going to do in order to pray scripture. You see also that Jesus taught with authority in the passage. It says that they noted that he taught with authority, and that he also healed with authority, he cast out demons, he commanded with authority. You keep seeing this. In verse 27, it says that he had authority. You keep seeing this theme of authority throughout Mark chapter 1. And it says, as a response to Jesus executing his authority in 31, that she served them. And there's a really neat passage in verse 35 of chapter 1, where it says that he went into a solitary place and prayed to his Father early in the morning. I think that's a wonderful chapter for us to begin our journey on, a wonderful thought that Jesus himself had personal devotions. He went away to a solitary place to spend time with the Lord. So those are some of the highlights of the chapter. You see this major theme of God's authority, the fact that he's in control, he's sovereign, particularly in the person of Jesus, that even though Jesus is man, he still is a God of great authority and is able to execute his authority in the way that he chooses to. You see that clearly in the passage. So how is it that we put this in terms of a prayer before the Lord? Remember, we have all of these aspects of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and petition. So we're just going to go through one at a time, and we'll begin with adoration. I'm going to take this passage, and I'm going to adore the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord in my prayer life. How am I going to do that? Well, I wrote this. I wrote, "Lord, I praise you for your authority in the world and in my life. I praise you for," very simple, "I praise you for your authority in the world and in my life." You see that in the passage. So we're to praise the Lord for his authority. What we're looking for in the passage is what it reveals about who God is, or who Christ is, who is God. And we see that in this passage. You might expand, and you're just as you're praying to the Lord about this, that you might expand on it and just praise him that he is an authority even though we're not. He's in control even though we're not. We look ahead to 2021 and we think we're in control and we're hoping for a better time, but no, we know God is the one that is in control, and we are not. And we can praise him for that. And then we can also praise him because he really is an example of what it means to grow in intimacy with the Father, to have a close walk with the Lord. We see that as the Father is pleased with Jesus at his baptism, and as Jesus goes to the Father, that is something we can praise the Lord for as well. And then in confession, that's the next way, the next part of our prayer time. In confession, we really need to take some time and just confess to the Lord that we take the authority that Christ has. I wrote this: Lord, I confess that I don't always view you as having authority. I'm my own authority too often. As a result, I stray from you, and I have my own agenda, and that makes me too busy for you. It's interesting that the passage talks, it shows the authority of Jesus and also the close relationship with Jesus. And there is a connection. When we see ourselves as the authority, we are preoccupied with ourselves, and we're not going to be drawing close to the Lord. But when we see him as the authority, then we align our lives under him, and then we are able to draw ourselves to him. So there's a confession there that so often we don't do this. We don't see Jesus as the authority that he is in our lives, and we act as though we have the authority rather than Jesus. Thanksgiving is similar to our praise. We're thankful that the Lord is in control and that we are not, and that things happen according to his will. We ought to be really, really grateful for that. God is in control, and just be grateful for that. We aren't in control. If there's anything that our times and our lives are teaching us, it's that we aren't in control. So Thanksgiving, Lord, I just wrote, Lord, thank you that you are in control and do what is according to your will. And then finally, petition. Now we're ready to ask the Lord for things. Well, what can we petition the Lord on this path from this passage? Well, I wrote down three things. One, Lord, help me to follow you fully. Jesus says in the passage, follow me. And I think I can take that and take that as a prayer request for myself and ask Jesus to help me. Ask the Lord to help me to follow him fully. Number two, help me to draw near to you daily. We see the example of Jesus of drawing near in a solitary place. Help me to draw near daily. And then number three, help me to rest in your greatness, authority, and power. Help me to rest in your authority, greatness, and power. So that's how, that was how I wrote down in my prayer journal. This is exactly how I recommend that you do this. This is the first time we're doing this. This is the first vlog here. Let me encourage you, just write down adoration. And then right next to it, write down a one-sentence prayer. Now, you can pray more than that in your time with the Lord, but just write down one sentence. It will keep you focused. It will keep you precise in what you're praying. And then, obviously, you can expand on that in your prayer life, but it will help you in your prayer life. And then confession, write down one or two sentences. Thanksgiving, one or two sentences. And then petition, one or two sentences. I'll show you what I did. It's not really neat or anything like that. It's all on a legal pad is how I did it. I don't know that I'll always do it on a legal pad, but I did it today on a legal pad. And then just prayed through those things. And hopefully it'll help you. Now, you may come up with it's not like they're all going to be the same. A general interpretation of the passage is probably going to be the same. But how these prayers come out, they're going to be something that's more personal. So, of course, make this something that's personal for you. I'm not suggesting that you just copy this, but I think I just want to set an example and show you how to do this in your own prayer life with the Lord. Next, we also got around together and we read from Genesis 1 through 2 in our family devotions together. And how we do it is we just start, I usually start off and we just go paragraph by paragraph around the room. And usually my wife and I take double paragraphs. So we'll read two paragraphs and then she'll read around the room and then we'll go and then each individual will read paragraphs. Each child will read a paragraph. And so that's how we did it. And we came to Genesis chapter 1. And of course, you're probably familiar with the fact that this is the creation account. But what we're particularly looking for is a gospel focus. And I want my kids to grasp the gospel focus of the passage. As we read through this, I asked my kids, okay, what's the gospel focus here? Here are the things that we came up with. First of all, God is the creator. And everything's based upon that. But because he's the creator, he sets the rules. He sets everything in motion. He has the ability to give laws. He sets the definition of sin. He sets the definition of redemption. He's the creator of everything. That's important to understand. But also, God created humans special. He created them according to God's image. And we talked about that as a family. What does it mean when it says that he created Adam and Eve according to his image? And I explained it to them that what that's talking about, there are a couple of things it's talking about. One is that an image bearer is one who resembles or reflects the other person. So we are to reflect or resemble God, the character of God. And we talked about, I asked the kids, what characteristics do you think of that we should resemble that are true of God? And they mentioned holiness and kindness and love. And those are the kind of things that it's true. Those are things that are true of God, that we are image bearers. God's created us to reflect those attributes, those characteristics as well. We talked about that. We also talked about the fact that God made us in his, but also we said there are certain things that aren't true of God and will never be true of us, like omnipotence and omniscience and those kinds of things. I made the distinctions between those two. This is very important in establishing the foundation of the gospel. What were we created for? Or created to glorify God? What does that mean? To bear his image. What does that mean? To reflect his character. So we're talking about, I was trying to explain that to my kids. And even the youngest can understand, okay, what are some things that are true about God that can be true about us? A very young child can understand that God is love, so I can be loving. God is kind, so I can be kind. So it can be something very simple. And then God, because we're made in the image of God, we have the ability to have a relationship with him. And we talked about that. And then finally, what's clear in the passage in both chapters 2 and fleshed out in chapter 1 and fleshed out in chapter 2. And by the way, chapter 2 is a further development of what happened when God created man. It's not a chronological, it actually kind of backtracks a little bit and, okay, here's a further fleshing out of what it means when God created man in his image and gave man responsibility. And the responsibility that he gave man, he said, dominion over the sea, over the world, dominion over creation. And we talked about what that means. And we basically said, it's talking about stewardship, that God's created us to reflect his glory, his character. And the way that we do that is that he's given us things to do in this life. He's given us responsibilities. And we are to be good stewards with the things that God gives us. That can be schoolwork. That can be a vocation, whatever it is. And we talked through the concept of stewardship and the responsibility that we have. And then so that's the contributions that chapters 1 and 2 make. We talked a little bit about marriage as well and got into a discussion about that, but really tried to stay more focused on the gospel and the foundation of the gospel. By the way, we'll look ahead the next day is going to be at chapter 3. And it's going to be how sin destroyed that whole plan of reflecting God's character, of the problems of stewardship. All of that we're going to see in chapter 3. So these are the kinds of things that I would encourage you to focus on in your family devotions with your kids. This is only, take 25 minutes at the most, in my opinion anyway. Yeah, you could take more if you have more time, but you want to keep it fairly brief for the kids. To keep them engaged, and I think that'll be a help to you. Hopefully that was a help in just thinking through those two passages, and Mark for your personal devotions, and then Genesis 1 and 2. And then finally, I do want to read a wonderful devotional book. It's called Voices from the Past, Puritan devotional readings. It's edited by Richard Rushen. You can. It's published by Banner of Truth. You probably can get it from Amazon, but if not, you can get it directly from Banner of Truth. This is what the cover looks like, and this is such an appropriate devotional to think through, especially as we start off on this journey of worshiping the Lord personally and in fellowship with the Lord. The title of this devotional is called Pray Without Ceasing, which of course is a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And this particular devotional reading is by Thomas Manton, and it comes from his book called, it's just entitled Works, actually. Thomas Manton says this: "The closet and solitary prayer is a necessary duty and a profitable one. It does much for the enlargement of the heart. When a man seeks to deal most earnestly with God, he should seek retirement and be alone. Christ, in his agonies, went apart from his disciples. It is notable that when Jacob sought to wrestle with God, it is said, 'And Jacob was left alone,' Genesis 32:24. When he had a mind to deal with God in great earnestness, he sent away all his company. A hypocrite finds a greater flash of gifts in his public duties, but he is slight and superficial when he is alone with God. Usually, God's children are able to most affectionately pour out their hearts before him in private. Here, they find their affections free to wrestle with God. Here, one finds most communion with God and enlargement of heart. In private, we are wholly at leisure to deal with God in a childlike liberty. Now, will you omit this duty where you may be most free without distraction to let out your heart to God? The sweetest experiences of God's saints are when they are alone with God. Without seeking God often, the vitality of the soul is lost. We may as well expect a crop and harvest without sowing, as living grace without seeking God. God is first cast out of the closet, then out of the family, and with it a little while out of the congregation. Omit secret prayer, and some great sin will follow. A man who is often with God does not dare to offend him so freely as others do. Religion, as it were, dies by decrees. Whatever else is forgotten, God must not be forgotten. Make God a good allowance. Make a prudent choice yourselves, and consecrate such a part of time as will suit with your occasions, your course of life, and according to your abilities and opportunities." What a wonderful devotion that encourages us to have a time with the Lord, a quiet time with the Lord. And I hope that is an encouragement for you. That wraps it up for today on this edition of Devoted, Enrichment for Personal and Family Devotions.